But first, Todd Sloan, currently on sabbatical in Central America, interviews peace activist Brian Wilson, who after many years in Portland, moved this past summer to Granada, Nicaragua, to establish Casa Sandino, a peace education center. Wilson's campaign against war began after witnessing routine atrocities in Vietnam in the late 60s. In 1987, protesting the shipment of U.S. weapons to Central America, he lost his legs below the knees when he and other veterans blocked a train at the Concord, California Naval Weapons Station. You can learn more about Wilson's life in his book, Blood on the Tracks, and the recent documentary about his peace work, Paying the Price for Peace. And look for his forthcoming book on the Vietnam War, Please Don't Thank Me for My Service. And now, here's Todd Sloan talking with Brian Wilson.
Hello, this is Todd Sloan for the Old Mole Variety Hour, sitting here in Granada, Nicaragua, with Brian Wilson, who many of you in the Portland activist community know for his long years of work for peace and for environmental and social justice. And I happen to be in Managua now myself for a while, and I decided to come and see what he's up to in Granada and let him find his own words to send a message back to Portland about what he's doing here, and pretty happy to see him in this beautiful country. So, Brian, tell us how you're doing and what you're hoping to do here in Nicaragua.
Well, I have purchased a house in Granada, which I'm now fixing up to be what I call Casa Sandino. It's going to be a solidarity house for people who want to visit Nicaragua and Granada specifically. It'll have a lot of information about the history of U.S. intervention in Nicaragua and history about the revolution. It'll have a community room where I hope to have a lot of events, a big dining room, and a swimming pool, a couple of extra bedrooms. So that is being renovated right now and it won't be completed until late November. Temporarily, I'm living in a furnished house in Granada. But I'm a citizen now of Nicaragua. I did not give up my U.S. citizenship, but I am a citizen of Nicaragua as well. I'm 76, so this seems to be perhaps my last chapter.
Many decades more.
Yeah. And so I'm trying to get integrated into Nicaragua the best I can. I have a lot of friends in Nicaragua from all the years that I have come here. I began coming here in 1986. During the Reagan war years. I'm a member of the ORD, which is the Organization of Revolutionary Disabled. I'm a full member of that group, and I attend their meetings, even though I always still have to have a translator to make sure I understand everything that's being said and that they understand what I'm saying. I am in the process of actually planning another book of interviews with ex-combatants during the war, probably both Contras and ex-Sandinistas, and I want to tentatively title the book Reagan's Vicious War 30 Years Later, from the standpoint of the people I interview, who all of whom will have been injured mentally or physically from the war, and I'm getting to know them more and more. So I've already started that process of getting to know some of these ex-soldiers. And of course, for me, every injury that they have, I feel partially responsible for it because it was my country that went on this Reagan's madness campaign against any kind of liberation movement in Central America that he called communists and a Soviet beachhead. So I feel, in a way, responsible for these injuries, and I don't want to forget what the U.S. did. I don't want the Nicaraguans to forget, which is not likely. But I also don't want the U.S. people to forget. So I'm hoping it'll be in Spanish and English, both. I've had some health issues I've had to resolve since I've been here, which has slowed me down. But I seem to be getting through all of them. I've had great care here in Nicaragua by the services here, including a surgery, including work on my prosthetic legs. Great doctor here. So I'm getting to know more about the healthcare system, the economy, people's sentiments about the government, about their history, about the U.S.
I'm getting the sense that much of your work over many years now in the other book you're about to publish is all about helping people remember things that we prefer to forget, like that there were wars and the Contra war against the Sandinista government and and the Vietnam War and so forth. Can you comment on how important it is to remember and know the details about past conflict?
Part of my recovering from what I call the American way of life, which started in my Vietnam experience, was I realized I didn't know anything about history. And history is context. It's the context of the human evolutionary journey. And if you don't know the history and the context, then you're at the mercy of whatever somebody's saying in the moment without a critical capacity to critique it. So you become very easily a follower or a believer without critical thought. And so to me, history is indispensable for my understanding my own journey as a human being, coming from settlers that came over here 200 years ago, knowing what humans, and especially my version, which is white Eurocentric Americans, or white Eurocentrics, what we have done, and the mythologies that we live on, that outsource all the pain and suffering so we don't have to feel it, but it's a consequence of incredible layers of pain and suffering that we've all called the American way of life or exceptionalism. And so I really like to zero in on the devil and the details of history. What has it really been about? And Nicaragua was a case study. I happened to start coming here in 1986, so I became very comfortable with the Nicaraguan people, even when I couldn't speak, even still can't speak the language very well. But knowing what my country has done to these people, we started intervening here in 1853. And it never seems to stop. And it affects people's psyches. Of course, it affects their economy. It affects their culture. It affects their education. And so I'm interested, essentially, for my own recovery purposes, of reestablishing a more authentic relationship to reality through other people's lives, through looking at what the Earth is doing. The Earth is correcting us now, I would suggest, and we may not survive it. Extinction may be the ultimate correction for our geological era on the planet. But in the meantime, I'm interested in relating to people around how to be respectful. And I want this Casa Sandino to be a place where people can discuss history, the history of what the U.S. has done to Nicaragua. It's just a case study, because you could go around the world and say what the United States has done to many countries. And also the history of the revolution. The revolution in Nicaragua was extraordinarily exciting in the 80s, and I was here for much of it. And that kind of contagious, too, the sense that when people have, they've discovered their autonomy or their ability to articulate what they need, independent of what some outsider tells them they need. And looking at the murals that developed in Nicaragua from 79 to early 90s. It's incredible. The human spirit is manifested in those murals. And all those murals pretty much were eliminated after the Sandinistas lost in 1990. They were painted over, they were erased, because the new right-wing government didn't want people to be reminded of this people power that's expressed in art and music and politics and literacy and dignity. So part of what I do is my own recovery from having been so brainwashed in the American way. I thought it was great, as did a lot of us. And then to find out that it's exceptionally diabolical. And that doesn't mean humans are necessarily stuck with being diabolical, but in the collective participation in a society that's built on materialism and lies, we all get affected somehow. And it requires, I believe, a very conscious, awakened effort to recover from it. And I'll be recovering forever.
So being outside of the country like this gives one a clearer perspective sometimes, that looking back and seeing a bit of the news and so forth, it's easier to come to that more clear perspective on what's going on, right?
Yes, and I also know that the United States still demonizes the current Nicaraguan government, Sandinistas, Daniel Ortega. They continue to demonize it. Of course, you could identify and examine almost any leader in the world, and you can find ways to demonize them, because power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But if you look at how Nicaragua relates to Honduras, El Salvador, Mexico, Guatemala, even Costa Rica or Panama. It's coming out pretty good. It's dramatically reduced poverty. It's dramatically increased literacy again. It has lots of renewable energy with a geothermal, because they have 23 volcanoes here in Nicaragua. But things are running fairly well, even though there's still lots of poverty here, lots of needs. The roads are, they've improved the roads and the communication systems. All the parks have Wi-Fi now. So there's a lot of things about Nicaragua that's pretty good, and I love the people. So to me, the people here are marvelous, and it's refreshing. I can wake up in the morning knowing that I'm in a country that's not bombing anybody, that doesn't have special operations forces in 150 countries bashing down doors. They're focusing on trying to improve their own people in this country of 6.2 million people. So I'm hoping to start a Veterans for Peace chapter here. I've already started that process. I'm hoping to have a project to raise money for the amputee hospital here, Aldo Chavarria, desperately needs better supplies. I'm really just interested in helping out however I can in my later years here. I'm a member of Organization of Revolutionary Disabled, which whatever they need, I'm prepared to help out, raise money, or to go speak on their behalf. It's an experiment. I mean, when I came here in July and had a party when I left, my going away party, and I said, am I crazy? I've just turned 76 and I'm going to go live in Nicaragua. What's wrong with me? Tell me. Well, almost everybody said, go for it. So here I am.
Yeah.
It's an experiment, but it's something that I'm really into it.
Let's end with one last question. 10 years down the road, what will make you happiest to have accomplished with these projects? What would you like to see happening as a result of your efforts?
You mentioned about preserving memory. I want the Nicaraguans to preserve memory as well as the U.S. people. Often traumatic events, it's tempting to forget about it because it's painful. But I think it's revolutionary to remember what those early ideas were in the revolution. I just hope that I will have been able to help some people, some disabled people from the war, that we caused those disabilities. We created the pain and suffering, and that perhaps I can enjoy being an elder in Nicaragua and receive lots of guests and visitors from the United States. Have the center, Casa Sandino. I just want to be a good global citizen living in a country where my country has caused so much damage, and doing a little bit of atonement work to the U.S. person who's now a citizen, but want to practice solidarity with the people that we hurt. And I learn from them all the time.
I'm sure lots of people in Portland and others listening to KBOO will want to help out in a few months. Probably there'll be a website and Facebook page for Casa Sandino. And if not, you can find Brian Wilson online quite easily from various other projects
that
you're doing
also.
On Facebook as well. So S. Brian Wilson with two L's in it. So thank you so much. This has been Todd Sloan for KBOO Old Mole Variety Hour, talking with Brian Wilson in Granada, Nicaragua.
Thank you.
Adios.
Adios.
Tronaron los atabales, tremolaron las marimbas, todos los alcaravanes repitieron la consigna, empuñando la bandera rojinegra sandinista. Camilo Ortega Saavedra hacia la aurora marchó. Tu sangre pura, Camilo, va creciendo en las pitayas, en la risa de los niños de mi amada Nicaragua. Tu sangre pura, Camilo, llamarada en la montaña, derramó sobre mi patria su violenta floración. Vivías moribundo, llama pura del pueblo, oigo tu corazón. Ataba el guerrillero, donde el indio cayó, floreció el granadillo, para hacer la marimba que toca los sones de liberación.